Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you here, having some fun, getting you ready for another football week as we begin to turn the page and close the chapter on week 3 of the NFL season. And it lived up to the hype, 38-30. Lions take down the Ravens on the road. Oh boy, we'll get into that and the implications there and what it means next week when the Ravens and Chiefs square off. Having some fun with that, we will start to look ahead to the college football weekend, another mountain of injuries to navigate through in the NFL, some positive injury news when it comes to K-State football. Yesterday, perhaps. It's all coming up for you. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the pepperoni pizza, topped with sliced, cubed, and deli-cut pepperoni. Pepperoni, now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. This is I'm really playing with fire here with the home setup. Yesterday, I was up at like 6 a.m. making sure everything was good to go. Today, it was the roll out of bed at 6:45. See what we can do. We got here on time, so I'm pushing the limits a little bit. We know what we can do.
It's early in the morning. You'll get used to it. It's a rainy morning. Makes it a little more difficult to get out of bed. There's no doubt about it. It just is the summer of rain. I guess it's the fall of rain now, as we switch to fall officially yesterday, but it's just not going to stop. And I'm beginning to be a little concerned about what that means for our winter. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. If this continues and it turns into snow or whatever, it's going to be a long one. I'm not looking forward to that, but we'll enjoy the rain. Kind of hard to complain about rain as long as we're not being flooded.
Let me tell you, yesterday I got my guy here with me doing some homeowner chores that I've been telling you about at work. So we got some fertilizer out on the lawn, some spray on, got watered in with the rain last night, army worms killer. I'm learning a whole lot of random crap. So, but most importantly, down here in the basement where I got this set up, the 85-inch TV is on the wall.
Good job. Good job. For those who don't know, TJ, young Mr. Cleland, has just become a homeowner for the first time. So he is getting to experience a lot of these things like the rest of us, like what an army worm is. And that you're correct. Getting the fertilizer timed out right, that's a good, that's a guy win. Like that's a win for all of us. That's a good yard win. That's good stuff. That's good. That's good. Good lawn care there. You sit back and then you go just look at your yard. You just kind of walk outside and just kind of look at it for a few minutes. Just look around. No big deal. Walk back in.
I never was going.
What are you looking at? Nothing. Don't worry about it. Yeah. You'll never.
I was never going to be that guy. I made fun of all my friends for talking about their lawns in public and said, "You guys are such dads. You're weirdos." Now it's like, well, I got some imperfections. We got a target.
You put a little time into it, and your outlook changes. So we're making our way through it here. We'll get to Lions, Ravens. The Lions just at a bird's eye make a huge statement in the NFL last night, 38-30. A potential Super Bowl preview. This was my Super Bowl prediction. These two teams, you know, the weather was right, but boy, did the Lions, you know, they set themselves up now after that week one dud. To be able to go on the road and do that is pretty significant. The defense sacks Lamar Jackson, who has absolutely owned the NFC over his career. They sack him 7 times. They run the ball all over them. 34 carries from the running backs for more than 200 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. They did exactly what they wanted to do on the road last night in Baltimore. Couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch, definitely. You know, that's one of the biggest things that I kept thinking about during this game, which I'm sure that we'll get into more when we have more time after this first segment, is, you know, what does that mean about the Packers? What does that mean about that week one game if the Lions are this good? Does this mean the Packers are that much better? Did that mean that's how bad Jared Goff is playing? You know, on the road outside, which he did last night. So I really don't know what to make of it all. All truth be told, except for the fact that, you know, played really well last night, and that Lions team looked really, really good.
You don't have to make anything of it. The Packers that beat them went and lost to the Browns. I still think the Ravens are one of the best teams in football. It's the NFL. It's weird. It's crazy. It's wacky. Strange things happen. And what we see in week three is going to mean very little as far as, you know, it'll mean something in maybe seeding and those kinds of things. But as far as like what you see from teams in week three, it doesn't really matter for what you're going to see later. It's the NFL. Look at the injuries across the league. I mean, you're feeling great. Everything's going smooth. And then boom. You're missing a star player and everything gets turned upside down. It's happening everywhere. And the Cowboys lose a starting lineman. They lose CeeDee Lamb. They got no shot. Not that they did before anyway. The 49ers lose another star player in Bosa yesterday for the season. We saw James Conner carted off over the weekend for Arizona. They feel like they've got a shot. That's one of their best players. We saw Najee Harris and another lineman go down for the Chargers, who are trying to make their case as one of the best. Like it is truly a week to week league. Can you stay healthy? Do you have a great quarterback? And talk to me at the end of the season. I don't want to downplay the fact that that was an amazing game last night between two awesome teams who have been healthy thus far this year. But as like when we're trying to take big takeaways from this stuff, it's like, what are you going to take away? Now we saw that game. If these two teams met in the Super Bowl again, you don't think the Ravens could beat the Lions? Of course they could. So what does it mean? I don't know what it means. It means we got to watch a great football game last night.
Yeah. I mean, it literally turned into, you know, the fact of the saying of whoever has the ball last might win this game. And I mean, it kind of turned into that. You know, it was a 14-point game that quickly turned into a one-possession game. And then an onside kick had 30 seconds to go do something else. Like, it literally was whoever had the ball last won the game. And it turned into that.
So it's the NFL.
That's how high octane the offenses are last night. And like you said, just a statement from the Lions. And obviously, everybody knows that the Ravens are good.
Well, we can take things from it, and there will be consequences potentially to the loss as far as standings. I don't know that there are consequences to how good these teams are, but Baltimore's 1-2. That's hard to ignore. So are the Chiefs. That means somebody next week, and that's where we'll go next, is going to be 1-3, to Rick's point, as he points out via YouTube. By the way, you can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, X, 12 News Connected, as well as listen to us here on KFH. We appreciate all of it, but that's where we'll go next. Words out of our mouths. Does it make the Ravens not a Super Bowl contender based on ability, what we saw yesterday? No. Does it create the possibility that they could start the season 1-3? You better believe it does. And it does for their opponent next week, the Kansas City Chiefs, too. Something's got to give there. And that, my friends, is wild stuff. All right. Thanks to Prayer Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up this morning. We'll come back. That's where we head next. We begin to look at that Chiefs-Ravens game. Desperation time? Yeah, maybe. I don't think that's unfair. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily, Jake Bobrock, TJ Cleland with you on a Tuesday. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Of course, you will see that game on 12 News as well this weekend. TJ, you'll be there, yes?
Yes.
TJ will be there at Arrowhead on Sunday. He and I will have, and Rachel will have Sports Sunday. No, it's just you and I on Sports Sunday this weekend after the game. So we'll have you all covered from this weekend. Looking forward to it. Headline game, certainly didn't expect to. 1-2 teams walking into it. It'll take us probably the week to get fully wrapped around this game. There will be injury reports that we watch, but the thing that now jumps out and screams at us, TJ, as the Ravens lose 38-30 to the Lions last night, is that one of these teams is going to 1-3. Now, I will say, if we're being fair, a lot of people thought that the Chiefs might be going to 1-3 at this point of their season, right? The schedule and the way that it played out, the injuries, the suspensions, all of these things. But boy, I don't think anybody thought the Ravens might be 1-3 at this point, a team that legitimately could be one of the best in the NFL. They blow it against the Bills. Then they blow it, not so much blow it against the Lions. That's unfair. The Lions just flat beat them. But they were right there, and it's been some Derrick Henry fumbles that have really cost them, something he typically doesn't do that's now a little bit contagious for him. That might be a good thing for Kansas City. Maybe he's a little more hesitant. Maybe they're a little more hesitant to give him the ball. And a team that we've seen give up some big time points thus far, both to Buffalo and Detroit. Maybe that gives you some hope as you're a Chiefs fan, as Kansas City comes in as home underdogs, 2.5 point dogs. The second of two times they've played at Arrowhead Stadium this year that they have been home underdogs, which is also pretty remarkable. This is what we're looking at this year.
I just have a stat on my TV that just pulled up. Derrick Henry in his career in the fourth quarter prior to 2025 has two fumbles in the fourth quarter. 2025 has got two fumbles in the fourth quarter. So your point was immediately made there. I think the question begs about this now is, you know, who, I don't want to say panic, but who's got the more reason to react to this? You know, is it the Chiefs or is it the Ravens? And then your brain for the Chiefs goes, well, it's not the Chiefs team we're going to see in 4 weeks. I think that it's more justifiable to go 1-3 at this point than if you're the Ravens. But also, when you look at that Ravens schedule, like you said, this Chiefs schedule, I mean, if the Chiefs were going to go 1-3, like this was the path that it was going to look like. You were going to beat the Giants and you're going to play three really good teams. We didn't really know that the Chargers were going to be this good, but you're going to lose to three really good teams. You look at who they lost to, like you said, Bills, Lions, and it would be Chiefs. That'd be a 1-3. So I don't think there's any really room to panic either way, but as you said, you know, what this is going to mean for the playoff picture. Like, these are two teams that were, these are the only two teams that have gotten one seeds in the last 7 years. Is that right? I think so.
The Titans had a year that they got it.
And then after that, it was all Chiefs, all Ravens, I think.
Look, I think the answer is the Chiefs, just because the schedule is so difficult still. The Ravens will have this one. Then it's back-to-back home games. Texans don't look scary at all right now. The Rams are certainly very good, but at least you get it at home. Then they get a bye week. Then it's Chicago, Miami. We'll see if J.J. McCarthy is back by then for the Vikings. The Browns, they do go back-to-back-to-back road games, which almost never happens in the NFL. But they also have the Jets. They have the Bengals. They're, of course, in division without Joe Burrow. Two against the Bengals. They get the Patriots, the Steelers. We'll see if they can get things going under Aaron Rodgers. Their schedule is significantly easier than the Chiefs. And so their division is not nearly as good as the Chiefs. I think those are the things that would make me, if I'm a Ravens fan, not panic nearly as much as being a Chiefs fan, where, you know, just in the division, you've got to deal with the Chargers and the Broncos and maybe the Raiders. The fact that you have all of these difficult games you've got to play, you know, across the division, across the aisle, basically. And you just had a tougher draw on the schedule. So I think as far as like what team will be able to recover from 1-3 more easily, I would say that would be the Ravens. Just because of the schedule they play. I think both teams are good. I think the Ravens are a better team right now. Look, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, but they've got some things they've got to figure out too. I certainly baked in them playing better defense than they've played. There's no doubt about that. And if the Chiefs shred them up the way the Chiefs are playing on offense, they've got some real problems. You remember they did this last year. The Ravens did this same thing last year, where they were just a nightmare defensively. It's why I couldn't get on board with them early in the season last year. Well, by the end of it, they figured it out and they became a good defense. I expected the good defense to sort of bleed through, but that is not what's happened. They have been really bad defensively, and that's been their problem. They were good enough offensively last night to win that game. There's no question about that.
Yeah. I'll ask the question of, you know, talking about this 1-3 start, a potential 1-3 start. You know, if you are the Kansas City Chiefs and you find yourselves 1-3 after this game, we played this on the, you know, overreaction Monday that they weren't 0-3. If they get to 1-3, you know, what does that do for you as a Chiefs fan going forward the rest of the way? You know, does that dig you a deeper hole in the AFC that is going to, you know, make you more worrisome as you go through the schedule? Does that raise the panic meter? You know, just kind of what would the thoughts be if you start the season 1-3?
For the Chiefs?
Yeah, Chiefs.
I kind of expected them to go 1-3.
I mean,
or 2-2 at best. I mean, that, you know, like, it doesn't change much for me because I've had this baked in for them since we learned about the Rice suspension. They do get Jacksonville, who finds ways to win, but then it's Detroit. Those are your six games without Rice. We've talked about it. 2-4. Is very real for them to start the year. The problem for the Chiefs is the games that they have scheduled outside the division include Washington, Philadelphia, and Dallas. Dallas we'll see about if they're healthy by then. Then they, of course, get the first place teams as a part of their schedule. Then they get Indianapolis, unluckily, who looks very good right now as a part of that AFC South. Houston and Tennessee may be okay to play. There just are not a lot of games where you can just call it a win now, basically. And they're going to have to overcome that this year. Despite everything else that's happening, they're going to have to beat this schedule. And until they get healthy, I think we're all just kind of hanging on and seeing what happens. But look, the good news is they played Philadelphia probably closer than some thought they would. We'll see what they do against Baltimore. This is a good prove-it game for Kansas City coming back home. Chiefs fans should hate the fact that the Ravens let that go last night because now they're desperate too, right? Now you have two desperate teams. I'd rather play the Ravens when they're kind of riding high and feeling good about themselves. They will have to continue to do a nice job against Derrick Henry, something they've been able to do in postseasons past. And, you know, and just kind of hope, I guess. I'm sure that they'll get Worthy back this week, but I just don't know until later in the year how confident we can ever be in the Chiefs right now. And their schedule is going to make it very difficult for them to navigate their way into what may be a wild card spot this year. And I think that they will do that, but it's not going to be easy. They're not. We said this all off season. This isn't going to be a 15-win team again this year. They're going to drop significantly in their win total. By the end of the year, though, they could be a better team offensively than they were last year in the postseason. But we haven't had a chance to see that yet, and we won't for three more weeks.
Yeah, you feel like we're going to get Xavier Worthy on Sunday. Does that make you feel more confident in this offense? Does that change significantly what they're going to do? Like, what is it going to be a different looking offense? How much does that make a difference?
Just with Worthy?
Yes.
Probably not. Probably not. I think they're going to. He's a weapon. He's better than.
But it's him and Tyquan Thornton basically right now.
Well, so everyone and Joshua Briscoe yesterday, which you can go listen to on the Odyssey app if you'd like, or Chiefs Insider, Chiefs Radio Network, brought up that maybe I don't think Worthy is going to be a deep threat. Tyquan Thornton is very good at it. I think Worthy being there enhances Thornton's chances of single coverage, enhances his chances of getting open. I think Worthy slides in right now as just his own thing. Like he slides into that role that they've been missing, that Rashi Rice filled 2 years ago, that Worthy grew into last year, of just getting peppered with targets. I think they tried to do that with Hollywood Brown a little bit. Hasn't worked, you know, tremendously. Juju Smith-Schuster, again, glad he's on the team, has almost nothing after the catch. And that's one of the big differences. Can Worthy take a 6-yard pass and turn it into a 20-yard gain because he's fast and a great athlete? I think he can. I don't think singularly all of a sudden this is a 17-point offense that turns into a 27-point offense. But I do think by the time he's there, if he's able to play and they get Rice back and maybe Royals gives you anything and the running game continues, then I think we're cooking a little bit there. I will admit, I thought Travis Kelce would be better than he's been thus far. I think Father Time may be winning the fight. And I thought that Kelce in his newer body type, right, as more of a receiver, could be a little more. And they're being conservative with Travis Kelce. That's why he's arguing with Reed on the sidelines. I don't know how much better the offense is going to be. It'll be better. It'll be better. How much better? Will it be closer to the 30-point offense or the 20-point offense? Because we've seen the 20-point offense the last couple of years, the 30-point offense about the 3 years prior to that. I hope somewhere in between. But I think we have to be realistic with it. And right now they're making too many mistakes for that. How many points should they have scored against the Giants? We know against the Eagles, they should have scored 10 more than they did. They should have scored at least 3 more than they did against the Giants.
I mean,
should they have scored?
I mean, how many times do they stall out in the red zone? Like 3 or 4?
That's my point. So, and I get you have to do it, and they've kind of struggled in the red zone in the past. I'm not downplaying that. But the Eagles should have been 10 more points. Kelce drops a touchdown, basically, and Butker misses a field goal. Are we having this conversation if they put up 30 against the Eagles?
Probably not.
If Butker makes a field goal and even one of those is 4 more points because they were able to turn it into a touchdown against the Giants, we're talking about an offense that scored 29 points, right? So it feels worse than it is, I think, in reality. It has felt worse. And it's not because it's pretend. It's not pretend. They're making the mistakes that are costing them. That is a thing that's happening, right? But the mistakes are what are costing them. I don't think it's been an ineffective offense this year. And so I think the offense will get players in there that will help it. The question becomes, will they stop making the mistakes that are killing themselves right now? The penalties, the drops, the missed field goals, all these little things that are killing them. Can they turn those things around? Because if they can, they probably are more like a 25-point offense a game. And the way their defense is playing, and with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, they're going to win a lot of games. So I think it feels worse than it is. Doesn't change the fact that their schedule is a death trap right now as they get the Ravens and the Lions in 2 of the next 3 weeks that they have to play. But we have to keep thinking big picture, big picture, big picture, big picture. But it doesn't matter how good they are, TJ, if they dig themselves too deep of a hole. And the Ravens are thinking the same thing right now, by the way.
True. I think it's just basically boils down to just the Kansas City Chiefs are lucky that they have the defense that they have going through this schedule. It's insane looking at the schedule. Like, we keep talking about it, but it is actually like, this would be an awesome schedule to watch the 2022 Chiefs play, or you know, not the 20-point offense as of late, is what you're saying. It would be awesome to see him go nuclear through all these NFC opponents and first place opponents and everything of that nature. But the defense is going to help them a ton. It has to stay at that level that it's going to, or it's going to be a stretch to get a 7 seed like we were talking about. So if you can hold teams under 20 points, I think you'll win a lot of these games. So they're going to have to show up biggest. So you can say whatever you want about the offense struggles and everything like that. But even if they do struggle, they're still, I mean, they've had a chance at every single game. And I could see, I don't think they're ever going to get blown out by anybody.
They might at some point. But again, it's all big picture when you're talking about, really, when you're talking about the Ravens and the Chiefs. I think there's more pressure on the Ravens to be a 1 seed type team this year than the Chiefs. I think people that are real with it are just like, the Chiefs just kind of have to get there, right? The Ravens are a team where if the Ravens aren't winning their division or doing anything like that, you're like, man, that's pretty disappointing. Look at the Ravens division. Joe Burrow's not in it. Steelers offense does not look good. The Browns are really good on one side of the ball. If the Ravens don't win that division this year without Joe Burrow in it, that is a massive disappointment. If the Chiefs don't win the division this year, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they were going to win it anyway, right?
True.
Especially when you saw the Rice suspension. Like, okay, that's fine, right? Like, it's not that big a deal. We didn't, like, they were threatened more to lose it the second Joe Burrow got hurt. The Bengals were a threat to win the North. We didn't know if the Steelers were. Certainly doesn't look like they will be. Now, that division looks like the Ravens easily. So I think 1-3 is not that big a deal for the Ravens. Back to the original question. I don't think it matters that much, because I think at the end of the year, if they start 1-3, they'll still be, you know, 12-5, 11-6. The Chiefs start 1-3, which we've always known was a possibility. They'll have a much tougher hill to climb. And so I would still say the pressure is on Kansas City this weekend, even though it got added to by Baltimore blowing that one yesterday. They didn't blow it. Why do I keep saying that? They did not. Detroit imposed their will on that game. Detroit absolutely went to Baltimore and won that game. Good for Dan Campbell. What coordinators? He is still a great coach, and they did exactly what they wanted to do on the road against that team. Detroit looks like a force, and I feel good now again about sending him to the Super Bowl in my picks, because that first week I did not. Now you feel good a little bit. But it's going to be great. This game of the week. It's going to be an awesome game. It is going to be dramatic and intense and emotional and stressful. And that's what's great about the NFL. It's week 4, and we get that kind of game.
No, there's going to be some crazy things that are going to happen just because of these two teams matching up. The fact that it's in Arrowhead is going to add an extra layer to the Kansas City Chiefs. So the fact that this is a home game, the 3 o'clock window on KWCH, even throw that in there, it's going to be an awesome matchup.
It will be fantastic, and we cannot wait for it. It's the NFL. Man, it never doesn't give us what we need. It doesn't. We'll be previewing the college football week. We'll do that in the next hour. TJ, one of the other big headlines yesterday, I think it's happened kind of right after we went off the air. Bruce Pearl retires. Bruce Pearl has been moderately polarizing over the course of his career in college basketball. Certainly a character, but it's hard to argue with the success that he's had as a college basketball coach. He may be doing this. I've read a little bit for politics. Is he trying to go be a politician or something? But he's been at Auburn.
He's been kind of like a political commentary guy for the last couple of years. Like, he'll do appearances on shows and everything. So it may be a little bit of that as well, of trying to get more into that world.
Yeah, I don't pay a lot of attention to that, so I've missed it. It doesn't really matter. We're, you know, as a basketball coach, he's had his moments. And you know, he's been good everywhere he's been. He's been investigated by the NCAA, as a lot of these guys have. Just you look at it, and it's been a mountain of success. He went to the NCAA tournament every year at Tennessee. He's been to a lot of Sweet 16s. He had a lot of success even before he really took over. And then at Auburn, he kind of comes back after a few years off. It takes a minute, and then they've just really gone and gone nuts. They've been to 2 Final Fours over that time. Where does he sit for you? I think he's been wildly successful. I see him put in the category of some of the other guys that have retired recently, and I don't think he's quite there, but he's certainly been very good, and now those 2 Final Four appearances have been the icing on his cake. But I mean, I'm not sure I'm putting him up in some of the pantheons of others that have retired. I think we maybe are overdoing that just a touch.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, he's in like the upper echelon of coaches in the 21st century, I think. Would you say that?
Mm,
I mean, he's
no, like, because
he's
they not, all he's kind not of coached a, into the 21st century.
That's true. He might be in the second echelon, I guess, or the bottom of the first one of the last decade. Maybe we can say that's probably fair. So, yeah. But anyway, I mean, it's a huge loss for Auburn to lose him. He's one of the best coaches in the game right now, just from what he's done the past couple of years of navigating the transfer portal and NIL. He's been really good at getting guys to his program. I mean, that team that went to the Final Four last year, I mean, that was nearly an all transfer team. So that shows you how well he is at getting, you know, Janiah Broom came from Morehead State and things of that nature. Chad Baker Mazzaro is a guy that's been bouncing around college basketball, how big of an impact he made at Auburn last year. So it's going to be a interesting transition for Auburn. You know, his son's taken over, who's been the associate head coach for a couple of years, and basically just an immediate promotion, signed into a 5-year deal. I think that's kind of the part that interests me the most, is that it is a program like Auburn, you know, having somebody in the waiting. You know, is that the right move to make, or is it something to where a national search could have been conducted and maybe found somebody that can make that jump up to the Power Five level? You know, I guess that's my question. Is it a good move to promote from within at Auburn?
I don't know. I don't know anything about his son, to be perfectly honest and fair.
Well, I mean, just promoting within, whether he's a son or not, just promoting within, is that the right move to make right now?
Is he the best for the job? That becomes the question for me. And I don't know the answer to that. If they think he's the best for the job, then sure it does. Nepotism, like maybe he was an assistant coach there. I think if Kelvin Sampson retired, his son would likely take over, right? True. There have been people that thought that was the case for a long time. I think it happens. They were, I'm just trying to kind of get a feel for what they're expected this year. And they're generally looked at in all the early top 25s as like a top 15 type team. But
they've
then
lost
they're,
a lot.
Their projected starting lineup, right, has only Pettiford back. Everybody else in their projected starting lineup is a transfer in. So what does that mean? It means who the hell knows what they're going to be next year.
Basically.
You know, next year may be the end of the absolute chaos of the portal, but next year is still going to include it. So I would say without Bruce Pearl there, that is a big blow for Auburn. His son, great, but we just don't know, right? If Bruce Pearl's there, you're kind of like, okay, they'll be fine, right?
Well, if I'm not misunderstanding, he's like immediately retired. He's not retiring after the season, I don't think.
Yeah, he's out. But what I'm saying. Like, if he was the coach of a team with so many questions, he'd be like, yeah, okay, they'll probably be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Now with a new coach, whether it's his son or anybody else, it's like, I don't know. Like, are they going to be any good? College basketball, look, it's never been harder to predict college sports, ever. Ever, yeah. Ever, ever. And I think that will stop after this year. But we're still in it right now. Like, who knows what's going to happen with any of these teams? They all have so many new players. So a lot of the time, especially in college basketball, when you have that kind of turnover, you lean into the coaches at that point, right? You're like, yeah, but that guy's their coach. They'll be fine. Right? We do that with Kansas. Kansas will be fine. Bill Self's their coach. And it's true. They will be fine because Bill Self's their coach. So now losing one of those coaches we generally feel that way about is going to be pretty interesting for the sport. Is Auburn still going to be able to be that good? I don't know. We've never seen, is it Stephen Pearl?
Yep.
Taking over. But we've never really seen him have a chance to do it. Maybe they'll be great. Maybe he's awesome. I don't know.
No clue. The part that interests me the most about this, obviously, whenever coaches retire around here, you know, obviously relates to Bill Self and whenever that's going to come, because it's going to come sooner rather than later, especially with everything that's been going on health-wise, everything like that. And, you know, obviously Auburn and Kansas are completely different programs, but to see a team that was just in the Final Four promote within to an assistant coach, I mean, is that something that we could see KU doing? You know, people talk about Jock Vaughn. That's the reason they brought him into the staff, so that can be him whenever Bill Self retires. But
some people I don't say that.
I mean, if you're KU, you can get literally anybody that you want, basically, outside of like 10 guys. So it's like, I don't know if that's the right move for KU. I think that you look around and see who you can bring into this thing. And if the answer is nobody, then yeah, you get the guy that's coached in the NBA before.
Hang on. First, I don't think Bill Self's retiring anytime soon.
I mean, it's going to be relatively soon.
He's younger than everybody thinks he is. How, don't you look this up. How old do you think Bill Self is?
61.
62. He's not even retirement age yet. Like, Bill Self's going to coach as long as he wants to.
Hey, and he's got his papers. He's done.
He seems to love this gig. He's going to coach for as long as he wants to. So that's the first thing I'll say. I am so ready for Bill Self to be able to reset this roster. Can I tell you that? Like, of all the storylines we follow, when the calendar turns to like the start of football season, that's kind of the reset, right, of our sports calendar. And I can't tell you how excited I am for him to not have the same group of players that were not working that he's had for, 3 years now.
I know.
Like, I cannot wait for a reset for him. Because he had a difficult task in making a roster that was very talented fit together that was just not going to fit. So I am so excited for that because I get the health concerns. Those are his concerns and his concerns only. He'll decide how concerning his health concerns are. Other than that, he's wildly successful. He's not nearly as old as some of these guys are. And so, like, I don't know why we always – I suppose it's because of the health. I think the other reason, though, TJ, that it gets talked about is because we see these other guys retiring. I think that's why people look at that with Bill Self and they're like, oh, well – Bruce Pearl was 3 years older than Bill Self, right? Like, it's what I'm saying is, like, he's not as old as people. He's not like Mike Krzyzewski. He's not like Roy Williams. And he's 62.
I mean, made your point that Bruce Pearl was only 3 years older and he retired.
Bruce Pearl apparently wants to go be a politician. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, these other guys are getting out for whatever reason they're choosing to get out, whether they don't like the transfer portal, whether they don't like the new Bill Self seems to embrace all of this. Have you ever what tells you Bill Self doesn't like the transfer portal or NIL or any of this? Gotten that indication from him?
No, he said out loud that he loves it.
So I don't understand outside of health, which again is his concern to have. I don't understand why everybody wants to paint that broad brush and put him in it. He's not that old. He's not even close to the oldest coach in the Big 12, I don't think. So,
relatively, like, it's going to be within the decade. Like, he's not going to coach into his 70s.
10 years, yes. I think that's probably right. Yeah.
Look, I cannot imagine a world where Bill Self is 70 and coaching in Allen Fieldhouse.
Again, I don't know why everybody says that. And I know he's hinted that he doesn't want to do it forever, but he loves it. He loves it. And he's good
that's
at
8 years away. That's basically a decade.
I know. That's a long time. That's not like it's impending. So Jacques Vaughn's not going to be an assistant coach for 8 more years is my point. And they're going to go do a national search like they did with Bill Self. Back to Bruce Pearl. Auburn isn't much without him. He is by far, until you go back to the 1940s, their biggest and most winning coach. If you're an Auburn fan today, I can't believe Bruce Pearl has been there for 10 years. If you're an Auburn fan, you're devastated by this because you've never really been good without Bruce Pearl. And that's probably as much as anything why Bruce Pearl had all the leverage here to get his son that job, right? They don't know winning basketball outside of Bruce Pearl. So Bruce Pearl can simply say, you're going to go find somebody better than the only thing that you've seen success with? Hire my son, and I'm going to step away. And if, you know, I think he used some leverage there. It's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I would do it, too, if it were my kid. So we'll find out pretty quick, though, if Stephen Pearl can coach. But if you're an Auburn fan, man, you're devastated by this because he's the only guy that's ever really won there in basketball. And I don't think it becomes one of those questions. Were they successful because of Bruce Pearl or because of the program? And it's not a question. They were successful because of Bruce Pearl.
Correct. Yeah. I think that the fact of that makes it even tenfold is the fact of the SEC is becoming the new Big 12 of college basketball as well. And like all the pressure that's going to be put on that conference. I mean, you're a guy who has, correct me. I don't know anything about Stephen Pearl's resume, but I don't think he's ever been a head coach. So it's like,
no, he has not. He has not. He has not done anything besides stand next to his dad. In 2017, he became an Auburn assistant. In 2023, he became the Auburn associate head coach. And now he's the head coach. He's 38 years old. He's younger than I am. I don't have a problem with them promoting him. The Bruce Pearl regime is the only one that's ever really been successful in modern times for Auburn. So promoting from within of the only ones that have ever been successful does make sense to me.
It does.
And we have no insight into the inner workings of that program. None. Zilch. He may be the reason they're getting all these good players. That kind of thing happens all the time. We know that. So I have no problem with it. I just know that if I'm a fan, I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. Bruce Pearl is the reason they've been relevant. And he's not there anymore. All right, when we come back, we'll take you around some of the other headlines. A lot of injury news in the NFL to get caught up on. Some as we watch the practice reports this week begin tomorrow. And we'll get you ready for the college football weekend. It's all coming for you on a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday edition of Sports Daily here for another hour. Jake Balbrock, TJ Cleland. We'll get you ready for the college football weekend coming up. A couple other headlines we want to get to as well. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Oktoberfest, the deeply copper-colored German-style lager that will make you click your heels, grab your stein, and follow the copper brick road to the land of Oztoberfest, Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. I could go for an Oztoberfest right now, kind of a fall feel as we kick the fall off with a bunch of rain here today. Thanks for watching us, by the way, on 12 News Connected. Thanks for watching us on Facebook, YouTube X. You can leave all your comments there. We can get to them. You can leave us voice messages if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. Just go in there and click that, and there's a little microphone. You can leave us a voice message. It's a pretty cool little feature as we make our way along. Another big headline, TJ, this is a bummer. Fred VanVleet could miss this entire season for the Houston Rockets. No idea what happened. Out of nowhere, off the top ropes, we get the report that Fred tore his ACL and could miss the entire season for the Rockets. Just signed a new $50 million extension. He has averaged last year 15 points, about 6 assists a game for Houston. And it's just a huge, huge bummer. He just stepped into a role for the Players Association, like all these things, and then just out of nowhere, Fred might miss the year. Houston's got NBA title aspirations.
He was going to be a huge part of what Houston did. They just got Kevin Durant as well. I mean, that was a team that's going to compete for an NBA title, and it sucks as a Rockets. If you're a Rockets fan, that's going to suck to lose Fred VanVleet, and it sucks for us because Fred VanVleet was going to be a major part of that, have a ton of games on national television, really showcase what he's done throughout his career. So, yeah, that sucks.
Now, it's been, you know, potentially misses, could miss. The reporting's been a little vague, so we'll have to see on that. The recovery on that is better than it used to be, so I suppose there's still a chance he could come back late in the year. We don't have a lot of insight into what exactly happened, what kind of tear. There are different kind of tears. Most of the time we hear about that stuff as football injuries, right? But we'll just have to see. Either way, though, the former Shocker, that just sucks because I really do think they had a shot to win a title. They may still, but you certainly wanted to see Fred be a part of that as we make it. But that injury happened yesterday. We'll keep our ear to the ground. Well, we got the news of the injury yesterday. Don't know when it happened, but we'll keep our ear to the ground and see if we get any more information on that as it pertains to Fred VanVleet. Real quick, we'll go back to Monday Night Football because we're turning the page to college football in our next longer segment, TJ. The Detroit Lions, you know, we made this a lot, the discussion we had in the last hour about the Ravens going to 1-2, now 1-2 versus 1-2 next week against the Chiefs, all of these things. Man, I got to tell you, the Lions drew that up exactly how they wanted to. The running backs had great games. They were both effective. Jared Goff was efficient. They picked up the big first downs late. The offense looked incredible. The defense, not as much, but they had 7 sacks. which is, you know, if you can sack the quarterback seven times, maybe you can give up a few more points. But as much as it, you know, we look at the Ravens as far as next week, because we obviously care they're playing the Chiefs. Does that reestablish the Lions for you?
I mean, with the win last night, probably. I mean, that's a huge win for them. It's crazy. You brought up the running back play. It's so wild what they're able to do with the two running back system. And really, nobody else can find that level of success that the Detroit Lions have. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that is as solid as a 1-2 punch as David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, speaking of fantasy football purposes, if you even have – I mean, David Montgomery can be a running back one, which is unreal to share a backfield and be able to have that kind of production. And he was the leading rusher last night thanks to a 72-yard run. So, yeah, it's huge for the Lions. I'm not even sure what their schedule looks like. I'd have to look at that. But it's huge down the stretch of what that NFC is going to look like. I don't really know who the real contenders in that are yet. Obviously, the Packers are a name that keeps getting thrown around. But, I mean, it feels – to me, like it's the Lions NFC to lose at this point.
Whew, well, they lost to the Packers. Packers would have something to say about that.
If you were to pick somebody to go to the Super Bowl, I mean, you picked the Lions. Do you feel you still feel good about that, I imagine?
You picking them over the I picked them. What about the Eagles? All right, the Eagles have something to say about that.
It's true.
What about the Rams? Rams probably have something to say about that right now, who should have beaten the Eagles. Blocked field goal week two of the NFL, by the way, which we haven't even talked about the last 2 days, how wacky it was. Worst beat, one of the all time bad beats, the Eagles over the Rams. But like, yeah, I think they, if nothing else, they're at least back there where we had them. So I picked them anyway. I think that I would like to see their defense play a little better than it has. I know they had all the sacks yesterday. That's fine. But they still gave up 30 points. I do. The reason I picked them to go to the Super Bowl is because they get Hutchinson back. I think he's a baller. And I just kind of keep – like the offense to me, outside of the Ben Johnson factor – and I said this before. Like everyone – like the coordinators is a big deal. I get it. But Dan Campbell is the reason that the Lions are the Lions, right? That's a Dan Campbell thing. Those coordinators are great, and I think they're both going to end up being good head coaches. But Dan Campbell is the guy there, and he didn't go anywhere. So, yeah, it might take a minute, but I did anticipate their defense getting better. I'm not sure that I would say it's there yet. So that's what gives me a little hesitation. I would still pick them, but when you look at the defense the Packers can play, when you look at the defense the Eagles can play, when you look at the defense the Rams can play, that's where the Lions have to catch up. Now, I will take the Lions offense over all of those teams, every single one of them. It does make me feel better about putting them in the Super Bowl, for sure, watching them play the way they played last night.
Yeah, I'd say that the Eagles defense is just the biggest hesitation, I would say, thus far. You know, the Eagles offense is obviously can be really explosive. You know, so far this year, we really haven't seen it to that level. But that, I mean, that's by scheme. It's not by, you know, anything else. So, those are the two, I'd say. You know, obviously, that matchup, whenever that game happens, is going to be massive. I imagine that's probably – I mean, that could be an NFC Championship game preview whenever it gets to that point as well. We talked about a potential Super Bowl preview with the one that we just saw last night. So, it's going to be awesome. This feels like – it's weird. Like, we were talking to Wyatt Thompson yesterday about the Big 12, and he was saying you can kind of feel that there's, like, some floating to the top and some floating to the bottom of the Big 12 of how it's going to line up. Like, across the NFL right now, like, I mean, there feels like there's, like, 12 really, really good teams. Like, it feels like it's a pretty deep, like, it's nobody's running away with this. Do you agree with that?
Well, no, nobody's going to run away with it. Nobody's going to run away with it in either league. There's not going to be,
Heading into years past, I mean, not last year, but I mean, 2 years before, I mean, it's like, well, Chiefs are the team in the AFC. Like, they're the ones that are going to go do this. Or it's like, oh, like the Eagles are the team in the NFC last year or 2 years ago. I mean, whenever, or 57, whatever Super Bowl that was. Like this year, it feels like, I mean, there's legitimately like six teams in each side that could go to Super Bowl.
Correct. I agree with you. I agree with you. And we kind of felt that way going in.
Yeah.
I think the Bills probably end up with the most wins, if I had to guess. What is the fewest number of losses we'll see across the NFL this year?
Oh, man. I mean, three, four?
I was going to say four.
I mean, nobody's going to go 15. I don't think anybody's going to have 15 wins. Like,
I don't either. I think the Eagles probably and the Bills represent the best chances to do that. The Bills, certainly because of the division they play in. The Eagles, I predicted Washington would take a step back this year. Giants aren't any good. The Cowboys can't play any defense. So the Eagles probably also have a shot. They've also survived some of their most difficult games, Chiefs, Rams, out of division. So I would say those are the two teams. Can they keep it to three? Yeah, maybe. It's possible. But again, even with that, I'm with you. The reality is you're at least four deep in each conference, right? No matter how you stack them up in the NFC, I would say it's some combination of Lions, Packers, Eagles, Rams right now. And I know that we're not, I'm not talking about records. I'm talking about when the push comes to shove. And I'll put the Buccaneers in there. They got to get a little healthier. They've got some injury scares now to deal with. They're going to be out without Godwin and Mike Evans probably for a little while. But they deserve to be in there. And then on the other side, it's the same cast of characters it always is, right? It's the Ravens, it's the Bills, it's the Chiefs at minimum. It's probably now also the Chargers. And we'll see if the Bengals can get Joe Burrow back in time, if they can survive the time without him and get him to the postseason. But it does feel way deeper than it has in recent years, for sure, where it felt like it was either the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, and maybe the Eagles to lose. And that was it. That, you know, it's going to be deeper than that. And we're going to get frustrated trying to bet the NFL this year. Oh, it's going to be very hard, I think.
That's the point that I made about that. The Chiefs Giants spread is that, like, the NFL is always hard to bet, in my opinion. Like, I like betting on college football more because you get the 22 point lines that you can try to leverage around. Like, the NFL is always hard to bet. This year, it's like literally a pick. Like, we've seen pick-ems across the board, like 3 points because of the home field, and that's it.
Man, I am so far the opposite. I don't enjoy betting college football nearly like I do the NFL. And that's not because of anything, it's fun. To bet the NFL. It's fun. I just missed it last night, man. Just missed it again. Zay Flowers. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit. I did hit one bet to pay for the week. So. All right, we'll come back. Let's talk about that college football weekend as it pertains to K-State KU when we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
You want to win some HGO? You can do it right now. Text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. That'll get you a free cup of iced tea on us at either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. Try the all-new caramel apple iced tea. Try the all-new Poppy Creations while you're in there. The free tea won't qualify for these, but they are delicious. The Root Beer Floatin' or the Orange Dream Poppy Collaborations. Go to HDO, check them out. T to the short code 20357 for your chance to win. All right, welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here. TJ, let's get you ready for the college football weekend. It is going to be the first full. We're kind of in that Big 12 groove right now. We look around the league. TCU looks really good. BYU, we're ready to get a look at. We've seen Iowa State in league action. Texas Tech, who is on a bye this week, looked very good against Utah last week. I was with, I think, four nieces and nephews who were all at Tech this weekend watching that game. We have some family connection to the starting quarterback there who did leave that game because of injury. And then the backup comes in and is awesome. Their defense looks good, though. They are a real threat in the league. And so then we look at Kansas and Kansas State. Can either of them still be threats in the league? K-State, believe it or not, is still a six-point favorite at home against UCF, who has not lost this year.
I don't understand.
Well, I understand. I do understand. I do understand it. Are you going to make him a six? What are you going to make him a 6-point home dog?
I'm not going to make. I mean, they could be favored by like one or like this should be a pick 'em if you like K-State. But like, why is K-State favored by a touchdown when they've only beaten an FCS team?
I think it is such a perfect like explanation as you look at it and still scratch your head.
Exactly.
They should be better than they are, right?
Yeah,
they have not been. Nope. So which is it? And I think the line still indicates to us that coming off of a bye at home, Vegas is confident in the talent on this team.
This is the Chiefs lines from the Super Bowl 58 season a couple of years ago. Yeah. Whenever they, I mean, they were like, what were they, the 5 seed or something like that? And they kept losing games and they were favored by 8 every time they played. And it's like, they haven't covered this number ever.
Well, the Chiefs have historically, last year they were actually decent at it. But, you know, like there is a perception factor there for sure. So it is like Well, which is it? Is it that they're just playing poorly, or are they not very good? I still think they're just playing poorly. The good news is yesterday, Chris Kleiman said he was hopeful, I believe was the word he used, that Dylan Edwards would be back to full speed this weekend. They clearly need him in that offense. Badly. I don't know if that helps Avery Johnson. It'll help the play callers, I hope. I hope they design in a boatload of read options, because I don't know how else to get Avery going other than to design the plays for him to get going. He has shown us now that just in scrambling, like, he's not taking off. Okay. Don't know why that's happening. But let's see if you're the coaches, let's see if we can make it easier. Let's just run some read options with Dylan Edwards. You make the call, split second, don't overthink it. If it's there, take it. If not, go run. Like, that's what I would like to see the offense do some of this week, just to try to get him in that, you know, break whatever block is there from him taking off with the football and using those, you know, deer skills that he has to make this a more dynamic offense.
I agree. They have the talent to where, like, I always bring up, like,
except maybe not on the offensive line.
Yeah. The argument that we always talk about offensive coordinators, you know, a lot of people have been talking about Colin Klein at A&M and everything like that. But, like, my mind always goes to, like, what we saw at KU when Andy Kotelnicki was there. Like, obviously that was an extreme. They did a lot of weird stuff, but K-State has, like, your fastest player on your team is your quarterback, and your second fastest player on your team is your running back. Like, they need to be doing the weirdest stuff, like direct snaps, read options, fully flicker, literally anything you can do just to showcase those two and just make the defense confused. But K-State, as it sits, doesn't have anything that can do that, and that's part of their problem too. And I think that's part of the problem of why we don't see Avery run more, is because they know that, like, I'd say there's a lot of scheming that goes into playing against K-State of saying, like, we're going to make him beat us with his arm, and that goes into it. And then I think that Avery probably questions that a little bit, and then there's a lot of, you know, mental parts of it going in between the coaching staff and Avery as well. So I think that getting Dylan back is going to help at least add another facet to, like you said, a read option. If you're a linebacker, you know, which of the fast guys is going to have the football? At least adds that element into it and will open something up. And if they run the ball 40 times and that's what they need to do, then find something that works.
Find something that works is, I do think there are coaching challenges because they're not finding something that works. Right. I think, I don't know how else are you going to look at that? They have to do something else. You got to do something. Because it's not working. And unless you're ready to, like, move away from Avery Johnson, which of course nobody is, you better figure out how to best utilize Avery Johnson.
That's the part about my argument there is that, like, typically teams try to simplify whenever they're having struggles. K-State has been as simple as it comes. Like, they can't simplify anymore with their offense, it looks like. Like, they haven't ran the RPO. And I think that's in part of Dylan not being out there. Last year, they were such an RPO-heavy team. And this year, it literally – I mean, Avery's been a pocket passer. Like, it's been a simplified offense. And so it's like –
You think they need to complicate their offense.
Yeah, yes, which is insane to say, but they do. Like, there's no moxie about the offense at all right now.
Yeah, no, I don't – I think that's a – I think it's fair. I think it's
the hard part. The hard part is when you have an offensive line that can't stabilize a complicated offense like that.
That has been the biggest challenge. It's what Wyatt Thompson's been pointing to us for a long time, is that the offensive line is where he is kind of putting this attention. And that will be the challenge. That's why when you look at a line like that, you're like, ugh.
I'll even throw this in there. The argument about Dylan coming back. I think that a more influential injury situation is George Fitzpatrick, the offensive lineman from Ohio State that had the medical episode in the preseason, who hasn't been able to play. You know, he's trending upward. We'll see him at some point this season, it sounds like. But, I mean, he was going to be a starter as soon as he walked into the building. And Climate, Big 12 Media Days, was telling us about how awesome he's been at helping anchor down the offensive line. So that's something that isn't getting a lot of talk about because he hasn't put shoulder pads on because of everything that's been going on. So If they can, you know, get him back eventually, maybe that's something else that they need as well.
Meanwhile, UCF has beaten the brakes off of their last two opponents, NCAT and North Carolina. They also beat Jacksonville State. So they haven't played anybody really, but they've looked impressive in every way that they can, essentially. So that line's all over the place. I've seen it as low as 5. I've seen it as high as 6. It's kind of bouncing around everywhere. If you're going to take the Cats, obviously go try to find the best line. But I've got zero expectations at this point. Just go play better. Just go play better. But we'll make our picks Friday. That's going to be a hard one. That's going to be a hard one.
We talk about the hypotheticals of wins or losses for the Chiefs that we've done the past 2 days. How much better would it feel to have a K-State win this week? Like how much does that settle your stomach a little bit if you can beat UCF?
But if they play well in a win, and they look,
if they cover the number, if they win by 10 points over UCF,
I don't think I can answer that question quite that simply, because I'm going to need to see their offense play well. If they came out and had like a defensive, if they just looked so great on defense and
the defense hasn't looked well either. I mean,
and wins the game 17-10, that's not going to ease my stomach. I need to see that offense play well. Yeah. If K-State has any chance to get back to where we thought they would be, it's going to be because their offense is significantly better than it's been so far. So not only would I need to see them win, that would help, but I need to see their offense look good if it's going to make me more comfortable with what K-State is doing. I have no confidence in that, and they're going to have to win that back a little bit. I think that's the reality. Like, how could you have any confidence in anything for K-State?
I can't. It's really can't a imagine.
Question. Like, do you think they have the ability to? I think is the question. I still am going to kind of cling to. I don't even want to say I think they have the ability to. I hope they have the ability to.
This is the definition of like a K-State basketball situation that we've seen for decades, where it's like, man, this K-State team really stinks on the court. And then they play number 2 Kansas, and they play like world beater. Like, that's going to happen this year against somebody. Like, they might be 2-7 and then beat the brakes off somebody. Like,
or they figure it out. Or they figure it out. I'm not quite ready to close the book on that, but it's about as close as it can be. I mean, we're only four games in? Yep. We're only 4 games in. And it could not look worse. They should be 0-4 with losses to Army and to North Dakota. Like, sure. It's not just bad, it is catastrophically bad. So I'm not downplaying how bad it is. I'm just holding out hope in a couple local kids who are supremely talented that I just want to see be successful.
That's the worst part, you know, because we got so many Wichita ties into this team where you just root so freaking hard for them. Yes. And it's like, oh no, this is the K-State team that they're going to be on. That sucks.
Well, and they need to, I mean, let's be fair to it. They're college players now. They're getting paid, all these things. They need to and must be better than they've been, period. Sure. Period.
I mean, the Wichita kids are some of the most integral parts of the team. Like, they've got like 6 Wichita starters on the team.
Yes, it's a lot. Cincinnati is playing Kansas. So the total opposite of K-State for KU. I don't think there's anybody in the world that's not happy or pleased with the way that Kansas has looked so far. How could you not be? They are winning games in ways that winning teams fight. They look like a K-State team, TJ, honestly, where you look at it and you're like, man, how did they win that game by that much? And it's, well, because they played great special teams and they didn't make any mistakes and they took advantage of opportunities. And like, they're playing a brand of football. Leipold's doing an incredible job. Jalen Daniels looks like the Jalen Daniels that came into a season as a Big 12 preseason player of the year. Efficient, no mistakes, can kill you when the time comes. As far as this game against Cincinnati, KU is at home. They're favored by 5.5. Cincinnati is probably fine. They have, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, they had the close game against Nebraska. I think Nebraska on a neutral field, I'm fine with that performance. And then they followed it up with big wins in the last 2 weeks at home. Now they go on the road for this game. I guess you gotta lean into KU here, don't you? We'll make the picks on Friday. KU's tricky to figure in a good way, right? KU's good. They're a little more difficult to figure out because they have won these games by often big margins. But even if you go back to the West Virginia game and you're just looking at it, you're like, oh man, on paper, like they you know, 388 yards of offense. How'd they get to 41 points? Like all of these things that are fun to see, but it's because you have a kick return touchdown, and it's because your defense played out of this world and did all of these things. That's how you do that. And if they can be great, TJ, on special teams and on defense, I think they can find enough on offense in a game where Jalen Daniels only needs to throw for 138 yards to be good.
That's the thing that's kind of perplexing about KU right now, is that they are 3-1. And like, I mean, I'm riding the high of it. Like, I think that they're awesome. I think that they're a really good football team. And the expectations have just kind of kept growing and kept growing this season as we've watched them more and more, because nobody knew anything about this team that we always keep saying. But the thing is, I mean, they've beaten Fresno State, Wagner, played a good 30 minutes against Mizzou that you're kind of basing everything off of. Like, that's where all the expectations come from. And then you beat the brakes off West Virginia, who is probably going to be bottom three of the Big 12. They lost to Miami of Ohio. So, like, Ohio University, excuse me, not Miami of Ohio. So everything that you're basing this KU start around on is the fact that they scored 21 unanswered at Mizzou and then lost the game. Like, you don't know still. Like, this is going to be a pretty good litmus test, I think. Like, I think that Cincinnati's better than West Virginia is. So, but you don't know anything about Cincinnati either. Like, they need to play.
Well, we saw Cincinnati. Look, we saw Cincinnati play Nebraska at least.
Yeah.
Like, we do know a little something about Cincinnati, and that they're not a pushover. Like, Cincinnati looks like they'll be okay. At least we got to see them. But you're right about KU. They're doing this, and they've taken advantage of a soft schedule early on. There's no question about that. They've done exactly what they needed to do. We are basing it off of playing Mizzou tight and being in control at times. Here's the reality for KU. They get Cincinnati, then they got to go on the road in back-to-back weeks to UCF, to Texas Tech. Then they get K-State. They still have a road game against Iowa State. They still get to play Utah. We're going to find out, right? We're going to find out. And do they need to be better offensively? Maybe. But if they can be an all three phases team, like if they can be that old school K-State team where they're always going to beat you in special teams, they're going to be efficient, they're not going to make mistakes, they're not going to turn the ball over, they're not going to have a ton of penalties. I do think they have enough offense to be really dangerous in the Big 12 this year. I would never. They're at minimum going to be a team nobody wants to play every single week that they play. Yep. Can they string together enough wins to be contenders? I don't know about that yet. I've got to see. This game is going to tell us more than any game besides Missouri, and I'm ready for it. These are two fun games this weekend. Both 11 o'clock kicks. Like, you get them on. Like, this is going to be a fun weekend of college football, I think, for us.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. But like you said, that schedule, you're going to get answers in the next 3 weeks, basically. Cincinnati, UCF, and then a bye, then K-State. But, I mean, that Texas Tech game on the road is going to be give me a handicap. What do you think the spread is of that at Tech?
They'll probably be 6 or 7 point dogs. Okay.
Touchdown underdog.
Tech's defense, it looks like it could be out of this world. TJ, the injuries continue to pile up across the NFL. We saw Mike Evans go down. We saw CeeDee Lamb go down. Lamb looks like he won't play for a little while. That wasn't it for the Cowboys. Tyler Booker, one of their starting offensive linemen, is out 6 weeks. We saw Nick Bosa tear his ACL. He is now out for the season in that one. It has been a lot in the NFL this year, even by NFL standards. I think it has to be something we think about when we're talking about contenders in the league. And as we talk about the Chiefs, and you see all of these injuries all over the league, the Chiefs are down some players. They had their bad one in week one. If they can get Worthy back and Worthy's healthy, though, all things considered, they have been able to play through the first 3 weeks and stayed pretty healthy. Obviously, the Worthy one's the big one, but his diagnosis ended up being a little better than we anticipated.
Yeah, I think that Chiefs fans are knocking on wood after you said that, but I agree. You know, sure. They outside of the Worthy injury, I think that they have been pretty healthy, haven't lost anything massive, which is basically the biggest optimism thing that we keep saying as well, is that week six or week seven, like, barring anything happening, like, that should be what the team that you're going to see. Like, you're not waiting on anything else. Like, that's the team that you're going to see.
And it won't. So, they'll have injuries between now and week seven.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the team that you want to see on the field, ideally. So, but yeah, it was a big week for injuries. That 49ers one, the Nick Bosa one, just perplexes me even more of what they've got going on over there, because they've got Mac Jones as their quarterback right now. They don't have Brandon Ayuk on the field either, that is going to miss time from an injury from last year, and now they don't have Nick Bosa all year. So, 49ers, I mean, they.
Juwan Jennings has been out. They're walking wounded right now.
Yeah.
Which is what happened to them last year. It's not going to happen for them this year. I mean, it's just not. Too many injuries for them to overcome at this point. But they'll still be good. And McCaffrey's still a great player. I mean, what is the most influential injury do you think that we've seen thus far this year? I think the Cowboys not having those two players is going to turn them into a totally different team.
It's so true, but
they're just they're not some contender or anything, no. I don't think. But as far as them being a good team to them not being a good team, of the new ones we've seen, I think that could be as impactful for the next few weeks. The most significant injury of the season is unquestionably Joe Burrow.
Yeah, absolutely. But, Cowboys already had their problems anyways, but it definitely doesn't help the fact that you're not going to have CeeDee Lamb for at least a couple of weeks.
He's everything for their offense.
I'm a CeeDee Lamb fantasy owner, just invested a lot in that trade. That kind of punches you in the gut a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that offense leaves question. I mean, you saw Pickens throwing his helmet yesterday and dropping passes, and now he's your number one receiver, because you don't have CeeDee Lamb for a couple of weeks. Javonte has actually been a pretty good running back for them so far, but I mean, there's just so many questions about what that offense is going to be. That Thanksgiving Day game, the Chiefs go down there, it's going to look a lot different than what we may have thought it was going to look like. It's going to see its struggles, and I know that you're more locked in on the Cowboys than I am, but I can't imagine there's a lot of optimism right now.
Are you telling me CeeDee Lamb? I mean, George Pickens is a little disgruntled.
I can't believe that there's going to be off the field issues with George Pickens.
Who saw that coming in the NFL? Let's look ahead to the week four. We talked Chiefs Ravens. That's going to be the headliner. Seahawks Cardinals Thursday night. You kidding me? How good does that look right now? The Cardinals shouldn't have, you know, they lost to San Francisco. That was disappointing, or they'd be out to a 3-0 start.
Sam Darnold looks good.
That game looks good. 43.5 points is that early line. You think the over on Thursday night with as bad as the Cardinals offenses looked? I don't know. I might take the, I almost never bet the over because I hate them. Unless you're trying to get under like a 55 or something.
Yeah. We get Sunday morning football this week too.
Who's that?
We get Sunday morning football, Viking Steelers in Dublin. I didn't realize that was this week.
Man, I wish McCarthy was playing. If McCarthy was playing, I'd be pretty excited about that game.
I love the idea of the Sunday morning. I think that they should do, like, obviously it's insane to think about, but like if you could have one Sunday morning game each week, like
it's too much. I like doing
it's
it.
It's too much on the teams, but for a guy.
No, I think it's too much awesome. As a fan. I like it as a novelty still. I like having it occasionally. I do. I like to set my watch to Sundays and have a routine. And like that includes, you know, for a lot of folks, it includes church maybe, or maybe that goes on Saturday night. But then after that, it's like for me, it's usually trip to the grocery store, get everything ready, get home from that, get all my bets primed up, and then 10:30 hits and you get an active list. Okay, let me make sure we're clear there. Let me get all the fantasy football teams set. And then you work through that process, and it's about kickoff time. And then for me, I go red zone, and I just start cooking food all day. Like, maybe I have a Bloody Mary while I'm cooking, watching football, watching red zone. And then you know, usually you get the Chiefs in the late window, and it's like, all right, it's time to flip over now and turn to Chiefs mode and just kind of chill. So having that 8:30 does throw off my routine a little bit.
That's fair.
But I like it. I like it as a novelty.
Yeah, I'd miss a lot of football. That's what's so hard about consuming college football, is that, like, we do the picks and everything like that, and then it's just like, yeah, what'd you think of Ohio State last week? It's like, well, I didn't tune into Ohio State versus Iowa, like, or who
I'm watching. No, I'm the same way. And on this show, we've never made any bones about that. Like, there are college games that we stumble into, and we'll talk about those. For the most part, though, it's KU, it's K-State, it's Big 12, and it's not much else, because you don't have time, right? We're working, we're doing all these things. I've got three kids, and they're all playing sports. Like, we watch the games we need to watch, and if we can get into it. But the NFL, typically, I watch all of it. That's kind of my thing. It is a big week. You got Eagles Bucks this week. Looks fantastic, right? You've got Colts Rams. Looks fantastic thus far. Of course, we mentioned Ravens Chiefs. Packers Cowboys is going to get a lot of run. The Cowboys are going to get smacked in that game without CeeDee Lamb, unfortunately for us Cowboys fans. You get terrible Monday Night Football game in the Jets Dolphins. I don't know how interesting Bengals Broncos can be. The Browning experiment in week two was not good, although it was not all his fault. The Bengals, everybody on that team was making mistakes against the Vikings. I would anticipate a bounce back to some degree, but the Broncos are feeling pretty desperate now. Back-to-back games, they lose on game-winning field goals. So there's a lot this week that I think we can get excited about. There are plenty of games, and they're all spread over the different windows. So week four should be good. It should be a good week. And it's going to be the week everybody starts making money in the NFL. Anybody making money yet in the NFL? The NFL, for me, it's like you'll have two or three weeks a year where you'll make a ton of money, and then the rest of them you're just trying to skate by. I'm skating by right now. I'm probably a little less than skating by right now, if I'm being perfectly honest.
The NFL just drains me, I feel like. I always you can make a lot of money on the NFL, but I lose a ton on the NFL. Like, I always feel like what I'm saying is, like, college football keeps it level, and then I just always just lose it all on Sunday. Or maybe I'll get, like, that's where I make the money. But I like the player props in the NFL are always the best, just because of touchdown scores, of how diverse they can be, and the parlays you can do there. But I'm terrible at picking games, man. And you can tell in the standings on Friday. I went 0-4 this week.
Everybody's terrible at picking NFL games. Also, on our picks, and it's never reflective of my wallet, and I would be having a great year, because I always try to find the most difficult games to pick. It's not like, ooh, I have a good feeling about this game, I'm going to put it in the picks. It's like, no, these are either headline games or they're interesting because they're impossible to pick. That's why we put them in there. So that's not a good exercise. The thing about the NFL, and I don't like player props in college, I don't like at all. But making the parlays and all that, but player prop, that's what makes the NFL fun to me.
Yeah.
And that's where you can maybe make a little money. Nobody's making money picking games. I don't think. It's the other stuff. Like, where can you find a read? I mean, if Zay Flowers doesn't lay an egg in the first half last night, that would have been a very fruitful game for me. I hit every other part of it on every other bet that I had. Yeah. It's just Zay Flowers was a non-factor in the first half. So it goes. I had him in every piece of the different bets that I have, and he just didn't have a good game. And that's the way it is. But 38-30, that should be a game we're making money on. That's what sucks about it. You get 38-30, you got to make money with 38-30.
Yeah. Speaking of props, a little fantasy talk here. Get Jacobs in the guillotine league. We had the 32-team guillotine league cooking that last night. Brady, producer at K-Witch, was safe until the Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown in the second half and then kicked him out of the league. And then my wife playing fantasy football for the first time ever stayed up last night because she was up by 1 point heading into the fourth quarter, stayed up to watch and lost because of that last second Mark Andrews touchdown. And I was like, welcome to fantasy football, Gabby.
At least she wasn't in a guillotine league that cuts her out. My wife has a team. She's been in a league for a long time. I help her with it. She's not happy with it. She hasn't been good for a couple of years. And my wife is what she does not stay interested in things she's not good at for very long. And if she doesn't think she's going to be good at it, she has no interest. She came into that and won in the league, like either first 2 years it existed or the first 3 years. That's the worst thing that could have ever happened. Because now everybody's like, well, I didn't win it. And I'm like, it's really hard to win a fantasy football league. Like you got to be lucky. You got to be good. You got to be lucky. You got to have good timing. Like it's really hard to win one. And she just won't have, she's like, so she's not quite as locked in right now as she once was. I love that.
I believe it. My fantasy teams need some work. I got, how many leagues you in, Jacob? 10?
Yeah,
you have some astronomical number.
You know, there was a point in time, it was probably right when we first moved here. And I used to be I'm only going to be in like two leagues because it's too much to keep up with. The problem with that theory is there are too many different groups of people, you know, and you want to like join in on the fun of that. So yep. You've got like, I've got the leagues that I've been in literally for 30 years now. I've got those, and those are the ones that I lock into. But then like we're in one with other people in the media around town. You've got ones like your 32 team, two quarterback guillotine league, which like, yeah, that sounds like too much fun not to do that. You've got all these different, so how are you going to say no to those? So yeah, by the end of the day, you end up and you're in like, man, I'm in 10 league. Like it's waiver claim day today. As soon as we get off the air, I'm going to feverishly make sure I check all my teams and put in waiver claims. So I can take like an hour. That's what we do, though. We're degenerates, as you like to call it. It is what it is. All right. Well, that does it for a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Looking forward to the midweek edition. We will get Shreya Salata in to help us scout Cincinnati, get a feel for KU. Looking forward to that conversation. We also have Kevin Saul in, Wichita State Athletic Director. Shocker Madness right around the corner. What's the latest there, and what are Shocker Volleyball's chances to reach the NCAA tournament? We'll go over it all tomorrow. TJ?
Busy week covering KU Saturday, covering Chiefs on Sunday. Lots to talk about, lots to get to.
It's that time of year. We'll see everybody tomorrow. For Max, for TJ, I'm Jacob. See you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.